From the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Today on the program, it's Emily Pinkerton, a folk musician from Pittsburgh who mixes a variety of traditional and folk music influences from different regions of the Americas.
I was an exchange student in Chile, and I already was very interested in folk music from North America, trying to play fiddle and banjo and other things. And so when I went to Chile, that was one of the first things I looked for, just meeting folk musicians and getting involved in different groups.
Coming up, Emily Pinkerton with a look at her new album, Ends of the Earth. But first, we welcome back to the program our good friend Chet Williamson from Creative Works of Lancaster with his ongoing investigation of classic and rare films. It's Codpiece on Around the Wood Stove.
Well, howdy, all you buckaroos and buckarettes out there in Radio Land. I'm sitting here in the bunkhouse by the old spittoon, doing this here podcast. So far, we've joyed about thrillers and screwball comedies, but today we're riding out west for two horse operas, as they call them. The classic is 1952's High Noon, directed by Fred Zinnemann. And I'd like to make a Zinnemann toast to this most classic of westerns. That one always gives the boys a chuckle around the campfire. The situation is one that's become a classic in its own right. One righteous man outnumbered by bad guys, and when he asks for help from those he's sworn to protect, does he get it? In the words of Gary Cooper, nope. And it's Coop who plays Marshal Will Kane. Seems on the day of his wedding, Frank Miller, a vicious killer Kane put in prison, is getting out of jail and coming back with three of his owl hoot friends to kill Kane. The film is remarkably simple, with Tex Ritter's song over the opening credits. Do not forsake me, oh my darling, on this our wedding day. In fact, go to Spotify and search High Noon, Tex Ritter, and give it a listen. My favorite line is, oh, to be torn twixt love and duty, s'posin' I lose my fat beauty. The film plays out in real time, with constant cuts to clocks whose hands are nearing high noon, as the song has it. When the train arrives with Frank Miller, Kane naturally asks the townspeople for support, but they all go belly up, leaving him to face Miller and his gunsels alone, while the barber gets busy making coffins. Profit, profit. There are further complications. Katie Jurado as Kane's old girlfriend, Lloyd Bridges as a jealous deputy, and Kane's new wife, Grace Kelly, an anti-violence Quaker, who Kane basically tells, although you're grieving, don't think of leaving until I shoot Frank Miller dead. All the supporting cast is great, with such Hollywood stalwarts as iconic villain Lee Van Cleef, Lon Chaney Jr., Harry Morgan, Western regular Jack Elam, and Thomas Mitchell, Scarlett O'Hara's dad from Gone with the Wind. There's actually little violence except during the final gunfight. Up to then, Kane only slugs a weaselly bartender and has a terrific fistfight with Deputy Lloyd Bridges. And that final gunfight, well, I won't give anything away, but it's a sockdolliger, as we used to say on the roundups. An interesting sidelight is that because of its theme of one man standing strong in spite of everything, people from every political side have claimed the film. Ronald Reagan loved it. Bill Clinton watched it 17 times while he was in the White House. I can hear Hillary now. Oh, crap, Bill. High Noon again. And you should see it at least once. If you already have, watch it again, podners. They don't make them any better than 1952's High Noon. But they keep trying, which accounts for such fine westerns as Unforgiven, Silverado, 310 to Yuma, True Grit, and Today's Sleeper. This film only came out a few years ago in 2008 and was directed and co-written by its star, who also co-wrote the song that runs during the closing credits, Ed Harris. It's called Appaloosa and is based on the first of four terrific Western novels by Robert B. Parker, the creator of Spencer, Boston's best-known private eye. The protagonists are Virgil Cole, Harris, and Everett Hitch, Viggo Mortensen. So if you loved A History of Violence, you can see these two working together once again. They're sort of lawmen for hire, doing gun work, as they put it. The town fathers of Appaloosa have hired them to become the local lawmen and purge the town of its rowdy element, which is headed by Jeremy Irons as Randall Bragg. Appaloosa's full of Mexican standoffs, twists and double crosses, Indians and gunslingers. There's even a love interest in the person of Renee Zellweger, whose squinty eyes and round face really made me wish they'd been able to get their first choice for the role, Diane Lane. Also in the negative column, the film droops a bit two-thirds of the way through, but has a rousing ending. Much of the fun is in the repartee between Everett and Virgil. At the end of one intense and blindingly fast shootout, Everett says, "That was quick." And Virgil replies, "Yeah, everybody could shoot." And you have to listen to the song over the end credits, whose lyrics contain the classic lines, "I know you like to get undressed, and I'll be there when I can. But please don't go on whoring, or I won't be no lawman. Every cheating bastard who'd take you to his bed wish he'd kept his britches on when he's lying full of lead." Well, it ain't Do Not Forsake Me, Oh My Darling, but it'll do. Appaloosa, 2008, and 1952's High Noon. Rustle 'em up, partners. You want to be a tenderfoot all your life?
That's Chet Williamson from Creative Works of Lancaster with this week's film picks. You can keep up with Chet online at chetwilliamson.com or follow him on Facebook and Twitter. And don't forget to check out our friends at Creative Works of Lancaster at creativelancaster.org. Around the Wood Stove is brought to you in part by Lemon Street Market at 241 West Lemon Street in Lancaster. For convenient access to locally produced fresh and healthy groceries and environmentally sustainable products, visit Lemon Street Market today. If you're in a rush, no problem. Lemon Street Market has on-site parking and a variety of locally sourced and prepared ready-to-eat meals. If you'd rather take your time and relax, the market has indoor and outdoor seating and features the new Herd of Turtles Cafe that offers coffees, teas, and other drinks, along with assorted items for breakfast. Lemon Street Market is Lancaster's healthy grocer, fresh, local, and friendly. Featuring regional and world-sourced foods for your complete shopping experience, visit Lemon Street Market at 241 West Lemon Street in Lancaster or online at lemonstreetmarket.com. And speaking of the market, our next Wood Stove House stage at Lemon Street Market for Lancaster's Music Fridays is right around the corner. This month featuring our recent guest, Mark DeRose, with a rare Lancaster solo performance. On Friday, June 15th, join us from 6 to 9 p.m., 241 West Lemon Street. This show is free and open to the public. The market and cafe will be open, but you're free to bring a picnic and lawn chairs and just relax and enjoy the evening of music. It's Mark DeRose, June 15th, for the Wood Stove House stage at Lemon Street Market. My guest today is folk musician Emily Pinkerton. Emily was in Central Pennsylvania recently to perform at a Susquehanna Folk Music Society concert in Harrisburg. I was lucky enough to have a chance to chat with her about her musical journey and her brand new album, Ends of the Earth. Joining me in the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania is Emily Pinkerton from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you so much for opening your studio.
We're here to talk about a number of things, one being this new album called Ends of the Earth that just came out a few months ago in the earlier part of spring of this year. And there's a really neat mix of sort of Appalachian folk music and South American folk music, and you just really do a nice job of weaving these things. Even sometimes in the middle of a song, it seems like you're going back and forth. It's really a neat style. How did you first get into mixing these styles of music?
Just casually at first. I was an exchange student in Chile, and I already was very interested in folk music from North America, trying to play fiddle and banjo and other things. And so when I went to Chile, that was one of the first things I looked for, just meeting folk musicians and getting involved in different groups. And I was already songwriting since high school, and you know, just things kind of started falling together. You learned a new rhythm and you were working on it so much, and it found its way into a new song. And so I would play these songs just kind of to entertain my friends at first. And then, I don't know, it wasn't until a few years later that I was like, oh, you know, maybe I should perform this stuff too, because it's really, it's interesting. And there's interesting new combinations to be found, you know. And that was really reinforced later in later trips to Chile. And the second time that I lived there for a year with musicians that I spent a lot of time learning with. Mm-hmm. One of my teachers took up banjo, and so we traded a lot of songs and that was just one of the first things he did as well, you know, spontaneously trying to play Chilean songs on the banjo and American songs on the guitarrón, which is one of the instruments that I learned from him. So, yeah, it just eventually became something really comfortable and that felt right to put into my songwriting and performances.
Was there a reason that you ended up in Chile specifically as an exchange student, or what was the reason that you went there?
I grew up in a town called Valparaiso, Indiana, that took its name from Valparaiso, Chile. And growing up, I didn't know that. It just seemed like, you know, the most natural word in the world that you heard all your life. But then it's something you realize that the time the town was being formed, Valparaiso in Chile was a very, very important city in the world in terms of the movement of ships and the transporting of goods around the world. It was just a very, very important port. And that coincidence of names just has produced all kinds of connections that grew to be very, very meaningful. A lot of South American students coming to study English in our town, both at the university and in the high school. So I grew up with some very close friends from South America and just had a strong interest in that area and learning about where they were from.
That's interesting, yeah. So as an exchange student, was that a college?
Yeah, exchange? It was a college exchange.
And how many times have you been down there?
I've been there 5 times.
Wow. So you're absorbing this influence and bringing it into your own music, and you can hear it really on this album.
Yeah.
But this isn't your first album, right?
This is my second full-length album. Yeah, my first one was named after my hometown and Valparaiso, Chile. Valparaiso.
Ends of the Earth is recorded in Pittsburgh, and I see here it was recorded at the First Unitarian Church. So talk about that experience and why you chose that space to record in.
I love singing in that space. I direct a music ensemble at the church, and so I'm there performing very often, and it's a visually beautiful space, and it's a very satisfying space to sing in. It's just nice to go there and practice, to put on concerts. So I just felt like recording an album in a space where you feel really good and where you enjoy the sound just makes for good performances. And I wanted to capture all of that on the album. I wanted the album to have that feel of of being happy in a specific place and having a certain sound of a room all around you.
Sure.
Yeah, so that was the main reason. And it wasn't necessarily easy. It was a lot of setup and tear down and multiple nights, but late into the night. But it was, I really like the vibe, you know, if you want to describe it that way, or the sound, or just the energy that's in the album because of the space it was recorded in.
So did you bring an engineer in from a studio, brought mobile equipment, or?
I brought my own equipment.
Oh.
So I hauled everything in myself.
It's ambitious.
Yes, it was. It really was. And yeah, depending on the project, I would do it again, you know, or experiment with something similar, finding a space. But yeah, it was labor intensive in that regard because I couldn't leave things set up. I had to put it up and take it down every time.
I know that you play several instruments and played several instruments on this record, guitar, banjo, and fiddle. Talk about the other players. And,
oh, sure.
And who you brought in and why.
José Puentes, his nickname is Layo. Is from Venezuela, and I've been playing with him since about 2008. And Luke Savage, for that matter, too, the percussionist, started playing with him about 2008. They were good friends, and so once kind of Layo joined my crew, Luke shortly followed. And Layo grew up playing traditional Venezuelan music, in addition to being a classical player and a jazz player. So he's just a great bassist, really lively, brings a lot of that feel of Venezuelan traditional music and that energy, the improvisation that he does to especially the faster-paced songs. And Luke is a cajon player, which is a wooden box-shaped instrument that, you know, originated in Peru and is an important part of Afro-Peruvian music, but also had there were cajones in the Caribbean too. But he came to the cajon through flamenco, which absorbed this instrument.
Mm.
And so he's a great, great flamenco player, and he's just amazingly subtle and detailed in his music and adds so much to the recording as well. And Daniel Marcus, he's originally from Pittsburgh, but lived in Brooklyn for many years and just moved back to the city in the last year or so. Mm. And I invited him to play with us, and he's tremendous. You know, he comes from a mix of a bluegrass, jazz, and classical background, and just a great improviser, just knows what a song needs.
Mira ese lirio que el tiempo lo consume y hay una fuente que lo hace florecer. Mira ese lirio que el tiempo lo consume y hay una fuente que lo hace florecer. Tú eres el lirio, ay, dame tu perfume. Yo soy la fuente.
Let's talk about some of the songs on the album. Just right out of the gate, you've got this song called Summer Heat. One of my favorites.
Oh, cool.
On it. Yeah, it's a great song to open.
Thanks.
Can you talk about the story behind the lyrics of this song?
Oh, wow. That song, like, is one of the kind of songs you write that's a metaphor on top of a metaphor on top of a metaphor. So it's hard to dig through all those, you know, to get to the root of it, because it traveled so far from the original source. But I'll tell you one of my favorite parts of it, which connects to other songs as well, which is that sometimes there'll be a line in a song or a poem or in just something I come across in life, and it'll stick with you or be in your head, or just because you read it, it's just in the back of your mind floating around. And then it appears in a song, and you're like, oh, wait, that's from over there. That's from that poet or that songwriter. But yet you build a whole new song around that same germinal idea. So Summer Heat's kind of like that. There's actually a line in the song Polo Margariteño, which is at the end of the album. Two lines from that song reappear in English in Summer Heat. So Summer Heat's kind of an echo, even though they sound nothing like each other. It's built around these two ideas. One of the, in Summer Heat it says, I'll be the stream, you be the flower on the valley floor. Lend me your sweetness, lend me your color before I travel on. So it's not exactly the same words. I translated it a little differently, but it's about, things you feel strongly about, you know, and dealing with, separating yourself from them, whether that's a passion in life or music or a person, and I guess that's what I mean by metaphor upon metaphor. But and there's a line too from Polo Margariteño that says the caged bird doesn't sing like she used to when she was, you know, out in the free air and the open sky, and so that creeps its way into Summer Heat as well.
That was Summer Heat from my guest, Emily Pinkerton. And it felt like to me that the album starts out in more of a American folk feel, and then all of a sudden takes a very quick turn a little bit later on. But let's stick with the second song for just a minute. Can you talk about that one for me?
Negra. I love that song. Yeah, it's become such a fun song to perform, even though like the lyrics are really sad. And the song was born from two songs that are pretty sad songs. One is I basically put the feel of two traditional songs together, one from Peru and one from West Virginia. The West Virginia song is called Sugar Babe, and the song from Peru is called Negra del Alma. And they're both about someone who loses their love to a man with more wealth, and talking about, you know, how they feel because of that. So I rewrote the lyrics. So the lyrics are new, but they tell the same story. And they use just a couple of the words or images. And so it started out, I was really trying to make it sound like a Peruvian tune on banjo. That was my goal. But then when you get to rehearsal and it just starts going one direction, and it's almost become a really syncopated kind of dance tune. So it's got still a little bit of Peruvian and Appalachian flavor in terms of what the melody does, but and the rhythm too, for that matter. But it's got this other layer of really kind of a dance feel that I love.
I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. My guest today is Pittsburgh's Emily Pinkerton, who joined me at the Wood Stove House to chat about her latest album, Ends of the Earth. Now, here's where the album takes a turn.
Yeah.
Right? And you can pronounce this song.
Okay. Pajarito en Sol.
Yes. Yeah. this then really, for somebody who doesn't know anything about these different, South American styles, and it just sounds, you know, for me, it's just... sounds all of a sudden like it's a song from that region.
Sure.
Tell me the story of it.
I love that song. That was a song that Layo brought to the group. And it's a traditional melody. The words were written by a Venezuelan musician, very, very well respected, named Henry Martinez. He put these new lyrics to it. And the recording that I first listened to was of Cecilia Todd. And that's a beautiful Venezuelan singer who Jose has actually played with. And so he brought me the song saying, hey, maybe you should think about singing this song. And it's intense. It's fast. The lyrics just like rip your heart out. It's, you know, one thing I also like to do in songs is just, you know, take landscapes, take geography, take living things as, you know, and talk about them, you know, infuse them with emotions or equate them with emotions. And this Henry Martinez's poetry does that same kind of thing. And it's this woman talking about a man she falls madly in love with at a party in a rural area who loves her and then abandons her. So the lyrics are just so intense. And so we tried to reflect that intensity in the arrangement. Mm. And so I drew a bit from kind of the traditional Venezuelan framework of the original song, but also just did it my own way because I'm not an expert at Venezuelan music. So I put into it things that I know from Chilean guitar, things that I know from Peruvian guitar, and ran with it. And I think Layo really gets a kick out of it too. He likes to hear the Venezuelan stuff, you know, recast.
Yeah.
So it's fun, and wow, that's just it's like you can hear the, I want to say like the burning in that song. It's so intense.
I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. You can keep up with what's happening at the Wood Stove House by visiting us online at woodstovehouse.com. From there, you can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or subscribe to our newsletter. We love your feedback, so if you have any thoughts about the show, please drop me a line at jason@woodstovehouse.com. Now back to our conversation with Emily Pinkerton, a singer, songwriter, and multi-instrumentalist from Pittsburgh, who has a brand new album called Ends of the Earth. It blends many traditional and folk styles from different regions of the Americas.
Cinco Vases. What a cool story behind that.
Yeah.
And I'll let you say it in your words.
Sure.
But yeah, reading about that song was really cool.
Yeah.
But tell me about the lyrics.
I wrote that song literally in the airplane on the way back from my last trip to Chile. And, you know, it's always bittersweet. I love my home. I love being in Pittsburgh. I love when I travel home to the Midwest, but I love Chile, you know, and I love my friends there. It's a music that's just become such a big part of my life that it's always hard to leave. So I wrote this song as the plane was taking off, and I was watching the sunset towards the mountains, and I was thinking, geez, if I could only be the sun, you know, setting there back towards the mountains. So I tried to like paint that picture with the song. I tried to have the banjo. The banjo is really, and the melody and the rhyme scheme is all really traditional Chilean. I'm playing a song type called a tonada, which is a song like a ballad. It's to be listened to. And then, you know, kind of representing that journey, it turns into a fiddle tune.
Va bajando, va bajando.
Did you study music?
I did. Yeah. Yeah.
Was that your degree? And
I studied voice in college. And then I studied ethnomusicology in graduate school, really digging into Latin American music.
And have you been able to utilize, outside of your own songwriting and your own music, have you been able to utilize that education in a career
Oh
path?
Yeah, oh yeah.
What do you do?
In addition to performing, I direct the ensemble at the First Unitarian Church. It's called the Folk Orchestra.
Wow.
So wow, it's a fun job.
Yeah.
I have a lot of liberty in terms of repertoire, and we do everything, you know, pretty much covering the stylistic gamut of what I do in my own performing and beyond too. And and I also teach part-time at the University of Pittsburgh, off and on, Latin American music classes.
So the album was supported by the Pennsylvania Performing Arts on Tour.
That's right.
How did that work? Tell me about that experience.
Pennsylvania Performing Arts on Tour is an amazing organization. In Pennsylvania, we're really lucky, you know, in spite of, you know, kind of economic hardships of the era, to have some really interesting agencies that support the arts. Pennsylvania Performing Arts on Tour is part of the Mid-Atlantic Arts Foundation, and it's an organization that has a roster of artists. Every year, artists submit their material from Pennsylvania to be considered to be part of this roster. And what the roster is it means that you went through like a selection process, and your music was seen as something, you know, that the state recognizes as worthy of support and promotion. And so you have access to different grants. Mm. You have access to information to put on your material that says, you know, I'm part of this organization.
Right, like an affiliation.
Yeah, I'm affiliated with this organization. I'm a Pennsylvania artist. And so both on this one side, you can find support for things that promote your career and promote your touring. They're mostly about promoting your touring activities. So a new audio production supports you advertising, you know, your touring. And then also Pennsylvania Performing Arts on Tour provides grants to presenters. So if there's a presenter in the Mid-Atlantic region that would want to bring my band out, they can submit an application to Pennsylvania Performing Arts on Tour for partial funding.
Can you tell me in a summary, if you will, can you tell me why you make music?
It probably changes every time you ask me. So if I come back here next year, you know, I'll have a different answer. But the last time I was thinking about this, you know, the physical act of singing is so powerful. You know, it's a way of being. It's not just a thing you do, you know. Music is a way of being. And so it's something that fulfills even a spiritual dimension of your life in the way that prayer does. You know, it's something that just helps you, heals you, you know, centers you. So to me, that's what singing is about. And instruments have always been paths to building community, mm-hmm. and meeting people and learning more about the world. Whether that's, you know, with my next door neighbor or with someone, you know, across the world in Chile. So that's why.
Thank you so much for sticking around in central Pennsylvania for a little bit to join me for this conversation.
My
I really
pleasure.
Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
And best of luck with the new album, Ends of the Earth, and with all of your travels and your performing.
Thank you so much.
Ends of the Earth is the new album from Pittsburgh's Emily Pinkerton. Learn more about this album and Emily's music at emilypinkerton.com or link up from our website, woodstovehouse.com. And while you're there, you can also check out past episodes of the program, subscribe to the show, or leave a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. If you like what you hear, please drop a comment on the show post, give us a good rating on iTunes, and be sure to tell your friends about the show. Around the Wood Stove was produced at the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. You can find us online at woodstovehouse.com.